The North Sound Energy Week with Stork Technical Services, delivering an unrivaled range of assets, inspect and repair services across the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. A week in which we've been encouraged to save on our energy bills. A new report highlighted the importance of Aberdeen's oil industry to the UK economy. A first-of-its-kind career website was launched and plans for a wind farm off the coast of Aberdeen took a big step forward. At the start of the week, a local MP issued a call for the North East public to learn the lessons of the Big Energy Week. It came at the close of a week-long campaign by the Citizens Advice Bureau, encouraging people to switch to get the best deal. I spoke to Dame Anne Begg, who backed the campaign.
I think a lot of people are particularly concerned about the size of the energy bills, and we know that energy prices have gone up quite considerably over the last 2 years, and people are quite concerned about how they're going to pay for heating their homes. I'm absolutely delighted that Citizens Advice have taken this as an issue and are encouraging people either to contact them and go in past their office, and they will help them go through the process of checking that they're getting the best tariffs and the best rates, because it may be that by switching their supplier they could in fact get a better deal. Or indeed encouraging people to go onto the internet and look at some of the accredited sites so that they can again work out what would be the best deal for them. I think why people are very confused about energy prices is that each supplier has different deals for different people depending on when you signed up. And it is possible to save quite a lot of money if you get it right. But it does take time and it does take perseverance.
And as you say, big projects like this from the Citizens Advice Bureau really do make have an impact, because, I mean, as you can see from the news in the past few weeks, quite a few of the big suppliers who were their tariffs were rising and rising before Christmas are now falling again. So obviously there is a wholesale aspect to that. But, you know, you've got to hope that hopefully people pressure can help there too.
I think at a time where people are on very fixed budgets or indeed because of the economic downturn, people don't have increasing salaries, they are finding it really tough to pay for the increasing fuel bills. There's no doubt that the energy companies have perhaps been putting up the fuel prices beyond what the wholesale cost of that fuel might be, and that is hitting families hard. But it is possible to save on your fuel bill by shopping around, but it does need, very often for people, it certainly needs help, because we often know of the horror stories of people switching and it actually costing them more money. So that's why Citizens Advice have set themselves this week and encouraged people to go in, to visit them, to pick up a leaflet, but actually to talk to some of their advisors who will help them through the process that of switching providers if that proves to be the most economically viable thing for them to do and will actually mean that they will save some money.
And we may be midway through the winter now, but the temperatures really have fallen in the past few days. So I think, I suppose that just emphasises that, you know, it's not too late. Do this now.
I think it's important that people are aware of just how much they're paying for their fuel, how much potentially they could save perhaps by looking and shopping around. I know I'm quite lazy myself that I've signed up for the deal and that's what happens every month. It comes off my direct debit and people perhaps, if they need the time and the help, they perhaps just need that confidence, which Citizens Advice will provide them with in order to perhaps get a much better deal.
There were warnings this week for Aberdeen's business community not to rely too heavily on the oil industry for economic growth. The annual City's Outlook report was released this week and ranked Aberdeen among the top five able to pull the UK out of the recession. The report credits the amount of highly skilled workers and the prominence of the oil and gas sector as part of the Granite City's success. Economist Paul Swinney told our reporter Emma Glacken, while the results are positive, there's still work to be done for Aberdeen.
So the report this year centres on unemployment and how it has changed since the start of the recession and into the early recovery and what it's likely to look like over the next 5 years or so. What we see in general is that there's been a divergence between cities sort of throughout the recession and the recovery, and that those cities that went in strongest or with the lowest unemployment rates have seen the lowest increases in general, whereas those that went in with the highest unemployment rates have actually seen larger increases, which means the difference between them has actually widened over the last 3 or 4 years. The good news for Aberdeen is that it's certainly one of those places that went into the recession in a good position, and it's actually seeing very low increases in its claimant count as well. That's the number of people claiming job seekers allowance. So that means that it's the number of people claiming job seekers allowance has only increased by around about 1 percentage point since February 2008, where in Hull, for example, it's increased by 3.6. So it's certainly doing very well. I think in terms of looking forward to sort of in the next sort of 3 to 5 years as well, Aberdeen's relative insulation from sort of continued public sector job cuts is also good too. So this means that not only are they likely to see sort of few public sector job losses, but actually because of the strength of the private sector, they're likely to see sort of jobs generation. And that means that Aberdeen is really in a key place to drive not only the Scottish economy's recovery, but the UK economic recovery as well.
How have we got here? I mean, what have been the contributing factors? I mean, I understand, through the report that it's, things like a reduction in the amount of public sector losses in Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of people have got qualifications in the city, and of course, the oil and gas industry.
Certainly. I think overall, Aberdeen has a very strong private sector. I think it's got a reasonable amount of people who work in sort of high-value activity, high-value employment, which pay good wages and are certainly have been more insulated from the downturn. And sort of qualifications are very high as well. There are 44% of people who live in Aberdeen have a degree, which is certainly one of the UK's highest. And they also have sort of relatively low numbers of people who have a sort of low formal few formal qualifications too. I think one of the two of the key things are that the number of patents applied for from Aberdeen is actually very high relative to other cities, and that its number of business startups are also very high too. So it sort of suggests that there's a lot of entrepreneurialism within Aberdeen and sort of a lot of inventiveness as well, which are sort of two key components for longer term economic growth. I think the one thing just to be wary of, I think, in Aberdeen's instance is its over-reliance almost on the oil and gas industry. And I think that some of the best performing cities over a longer term tend to be places that have many different industries that can sort of drive economic growth rather than being over-reliant on one. And that could be a risk in the longer term, but it's certainly something which is of benefit to Aberdeen currently.
The North Sound Energy Week with Stark Technical Services, delivering asset integrity solutions to the global energy industry.
A first-of-its-kind website to advertise jobs in the UK oil and gas industry has been launched this week. Opportunities for school pupils, graduates and professionals in the sector will all be advertised on the online site. MyOilAndGasCareer.com is designed to raise awareness of the number of different jobs available. Katie Ward is Communications Manager for Opito, who are behind the project.
It's our new careers website. It's the official careers website for the oil and gas industry, myoilandgascareer.com.
Okay, and I mean, it's obviously been launched with a view to children getting involved as well. Thinking point of, well, if we get these kids interested at an early age and developing the skills?
Definitely. The website itself is aimed not just at school children, it's aimed right across the board at the general public. However, obviously, education sector and school children are a really important part of that. And it is important to communicate to the children that oil and gas is in their everyday lives. If they get into the industry, they're playing an important role. It's an important part of the world and keeping it moving along, you know? So that's what we're trying to introduce to them at an early age. And obviously getting young talent is something that we're really, really keen on as well.
And of course, I mean, obviously a lot of them might not be aware to the actual extent of the roles available. You know, we had things like law, mm-hmm. catering, so it's very much exactly. not just about, drilling and things like that.
Yes, obviously drilling is a really important part of it. However, there are a huge wealth of roles, so people who are maybe not technically minded could still have a place in the oil and gas industry, and that's an important thing to tell them, because not everybody knows that.
I mean, I understand this is a first of its kind website for the industry. Mm-hmm. Do you think there was a need for it?
Yes, I think that there will be a lot of demand for talent, certainly now and in the future, and it's quite good to have a one-stop shop area that acts as an umbrella for the whole industry, so it communicates positive messages, of which there are many, about the oil and gas industry, and it helps us engage with a wide audience.
And what about... I mean, obviously, I know that we spoke about this being catering for children, but also, I presume there will be other posts advertised for more professionals.
Yeah, we actually don't advertise jobs as such. We do link through to oil careers, so they were keen to be involved, and obviously, we want to provide a gateway to job opportunities for people. On our site, though, we really just give an overview of the industry and what it's really about, and make the key part of this website is that it's informed by the people who work in the industry and love their jobs. So it is telling the truth, and it's giving a broad and accurate view of what it's like to work in oil and gas.
Okay, so this is not the place to go if you're a professional and you're looking for a job. It's more of a learning tool.
I think it is, because it gives information about training and how to get that foot in the door, how to get into the industry, and it gives you a point of contact. We've got an Ask a Professional page where you can go and post a question, and it will be answered by an industry professional within 5 working days. And I think that's quite important, because it gives people that access to speak to somebody and get their questions answered.
The oil and gas industry is being credited as a major factor in soaring rent prices in Aberdeen. A report released this week found a two-bedroom flat costs an average of £840. The national average is £626. It's the fifth year in a row the Granite City has topped the poll. Dan Cookson is from CityLets, who carried out the research.
I think it's a strength of economy, really. I mean, the house prices and the volume of house sales have actually held up more in Aberdeen than elsewhere in Scotland, and I think that is a function of oil, and the sort of global reach of the employees of these organisations. You know, there's a lot of people on contracts being paid, considerable amounts who need flexible accommodation, and that's going to obviously put a bit of pressure on the rents.
Now, I mean, obviously, we're seeing here that the national average for a two-bed is about £626 a month, whereas in Aberdeen it's £840.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be struggling to get something for your money for £626 a month in Aberdeen, do you think, Dan?
You'll obviously might have to look at getting a smaller property. I mean, there'll be choice. I mean, there's a bigger volume of property to rent, so. Well, that's the average. Obviously, there is always going to be property less than that. But yeah, I mean, it is going to be a challenge if you're on a tight budget. Obviously, because there's obviously people who aren't contractors on high day rates that will probably be pushing up the rents. Or you move further afield. I mean, that's another option. Some of the most popular areas, the West End, for example, do have high rents, but there are alternative areas to consider. Having said that, Aberdeenshire is not one of the cheapest to rent either.
And in the big energy news this week, plans for a wind farm off Aberdeen's coast, fiercely opposed by Donald Trump, have taken a step forward. A committee of Aberdeenshire councillors met on Thursday to discuss their response to the Marine Scotland consultation into the European Offshore Wind Deployment Centre. The £150 million 11-turbine project is planned for Aberdeen Bay. There has been high-profile opposition to the plans, with billionaire Donald Trump saying he'll abandon plans for a hotel and houses at his golf resort on the Menny Estate if the project is approved. We spoke with independent councillor Martin Ford ahead of the meeting.
I hope and expect that the council will continue to express support for the wind farm in Aberdeen Bay. That has been the council's position up till now. I expect it to remain the council's position, because this is a very important development of strategic significance to the North East and to the future of our economy.
Do you think that there could possibly be pressure applied to the council in terms of, you know, economically, what the Donald Trump development will bring to Aberdeenshire? Of course, I say that in the back of claims that he may not proceed with any more of his development if this wind farm does go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's no comparison between the number of jobs and the economic significance of wind energy and renewable energy to the northeast and the building of a golf course. The renewable energy industry is of huge future significance to the northeast. It certainly should be. And building this demonstration wind farm is part of that. That is where, you know, the future of northeast industry lies. And if this wind farm doesn't proceed, I think it will be a severe blow to the northeast opportunities to diversify into renewable energy. But I do expect it to go ahead. I should point out that, of course, the final decision is not for Aberdeenshire Council. It's for the Scottish Government. And they will have to take a decision sometime during this year. It is perfectly true, of course, that Mr. Trump has objected to it. He's fully entitled, of course, to express his view, as anyone else is, on any planning application. But I should point out that nobody owns their view, and that in terms of taking a decision about planning matter, objectors who say they don't want something to happen because it will damage their view, that doesn't carry very much weight, because the view isn't theirs.
Now, do you think that councillors should be aware, going into this meeting, of the pressures that might be applied? And I'm referring here to economic gains with the Donald Trump project.
I'm sure that councillors are well aware of Mr. Trump's pronouncements, because although we can have various views about Mr. Trump in some ways, there can be no two opinions that he is very, very good at self-publicity. So he will certainly have made people aware of his views on this. But as I say, I think councillors will be well aware of the relative economic importance of a golf course versus the future of the renewable energy industry and a very important demonstration wind farm. We really can't expect to make the progress we need to make towards renewable energy and the progress we need to make towards diversifying our economy if we're not prepared to take on things like this very important demonstration project. I think there's a general support for the wind farm amongst the business community, amongst the councillors up until now, and I expect that to continue. I think people generally realise that renewable energy is of huge significance to our future, and we need to get on with it.
You believe that this will go ahead, then? You don't see any problems with this wind farm?
I think the strategic importance of the wind farm is apparent to everybody. I think the Scottish Government, and indeed come to that, the UK Government's general attitude towards developing renewable energy, the support of the business community in the North East, everybody realises this is very significant. It would be, frankly, an astonishing decision if ultimately this was blocked by the Scottish Government. I would be amazed. And it would really make one wonder just how much influence Mr. Trump had. But I don't expect that to happen.
The committee approved a submission to Marine Scotland, saying they're neither for or against the plans. David Roger from Developers Vattenfall told us he was delighted.
Well, we're sort of delighted with the meeting, because in a sense what's happened here is the council has agreed to put forward the views that they've already received from both the Fermartin and Buchan area committees. And these were broadly positive in terms of their views on the project that we're proposing.
And an important step, considering there's been some high-profile media coverage recently of different, opposition to the project. So this will be a big boost, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a boost for the project, but also it comes on the back of a degree of support that we've already received. Over 400 people have written in support of our scheme, and we understand around 14 have against. Obviously, these types of projects create differences of opinion and strong views, but from our point of view, we do believe we've got broad support from both the public and the general business and energy communities here in Aberdeen.
The positive aspects of the project, David, just for people who are maybe just picking up on this story, what kinds of, economic and environmental benefits would there be for the area?
Well, the project's very much a proposal to test next generation turbines, machines that will be in the water for the first time anywhere in the world. And it's really a chance for Aberdeen to be part of a sort of growing offshore wind industry, and really to build on some of the skills and expertise and achievements that they've already achieved for oil and gas, and to do something very similar for offshore renewables.
So the next step now, David, is the outcome of the consultation later this year, is that right?
Well, the next step is really a decision from Marine Scotland and indeed from Scottish Minister. So we're very much looking forward to a decision later this year.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
The North Sound Energy Week with Stork Technical Services, a leading energy support partner where safety and people always come first.